Steve Price, very good morning to you.
Thank goodness there's 1 week only to go of this election campaign.
I was watching it yesterday. Let me come to that in a moment. Just before that happened yesterday, what happened Friday with the whole I'm a bulldozer, mea culpa routine? What was that about?
I guess it was a setup to what we then saw yesterday that you referred to there, which was the Liberal Party launch fronted by Scott Morrison in Queensland. He seems to have decided that the only way he's going to pull a rabbit out of a hat and win this election is to appeal to the Australian public, the voting public, and say, look, we've had a bad couple of years over COVID. I had to make some tough decisions. I had to back some of the premiers on lockdowns. I had to close the borders. Well, better times are ahead of us. And that was a line he kept using in that speech yesterday, as you would know. And he said that better times are ahead. So that's past us, and you need to put us back into power because you can trust that we'll know how to run the economy. The other mob don't know how to do that. Anthony Albanese is inexperienced. Yes, I've been a bit of a bulldozer, but now I'm your mate and I'm going to make life better for you.
Tell you what, his religious side obviously helps him because, I mean, if you looked at that speech yesterday, firstly, he's way more eloquent than Albanese ever will be. But if he's fearful of losing, he wasn't showing it, was he? He was bullish, ebullient and upbeat.
Interesting you mentioned the religious aspect. I think that is exactly at the core of Scott Morrison. He doesn't believe he can lose. He believes, like the miracle he pulled off in 2019, it'll come again. The only problem for him is that on a two-party preferred basis, they trail Labor 54-46. And if you go through the marginal seats they need to win, and then you layer on top of that these teal independents standing in safe Liberal seats, it just paints a picture that shows, I think, a very narrow opportunity for him to sneak through and get back. He believes he can do it. Not too many other people in the country do believe he can do it.
It's interesting. That policy he announced where you can tap into your super, we've had it here for years, of course, but you can tap it because, of course, it's a Liberal policy, doesn't it? It appeals to the average Liberal voter. It's your money in the first place, and if you want to use it to buy a house, why shouldn't you be able to?
Well, that's the policy. I mean, what they have decided to do here, you're going to be able to withdraw $50,000 out of super if you're buying a first home. You'll be able to add that to your deposit, which has already been cut to 5% in most state government jurisdictions around the country. So you'll be able to get to your deposit level about 3 years earlier and then pick up a property and buy it. And then when you sell that property down the road, you would need to put that money back into super. Well, the super industry, you can imagine, and Labor, have absolutely gone feral over that idea. Industry Super Australia Chief Executive Bernie Dean, last thing he wants is people pulling money out of his fund. Says throwing super into the housing market would be like throwing petrol on a bonfire. It will jack up prices, inflate young people's mortgages, and add to the age pension, which taxpayers will have to pay for. Super is meant to be for people's retirement. That's an entirely predictable reaction, but it's also the reaction that's going to come from Labor in the last few days of the campaign. One of their spokespeople, Jason Clare, has already matched those comments by the super industry. So it's not going down well in super land, as you'd imagine it wouldn't. I've spoken to a couple of people already this morning saying, well, would you do that? Most people are saying, well, if I can avoid it, I won't. But if it's available to me, why wouldn't I?
Exactly. Since we last talked, Albo made up a pay rise. He said 5.1, we don't want people going backwards. Does any of that hurt him, or is it all too late now and he's going to, if the polls are right, drift into victory?
Well, since we last spoke, there was another debate, as you know, and he went on that debate on the Seven Network and said, look, what I'm talking about is the 5.1% should be added to the minimum wage, which is somewhere around $20 an hour. He said, well, 5% of that is a dollar. All I'm saying is that people shouldn't be going backwards. I don't think that hurt him at all, to be honest. It was painted as being irresponsible. It was going to pour petrol onto the inflation rate. Inflation would go through the roof. We'd get a spiral of wage increases. I think he snuck through on that, and I'm not sure that it's damaged him too much at all, to be honest.
Okay, what about this Chinese ship? I know Peter Dutton he can't wait to see a Chinese ship off the coast, and the war's coming. It starts any minute. But is this a problem?
Well, we've all got to presume it was there. I mean, we don't know. None of us have seen it. But Peter Dutton says Australian intelligence showed that it was very close to the coastline. It started in the south of Western Australia and then tracked north up the coast, headed toward Darwin, and was said to be near what's described as a secretive naval installation on the West Australian coast. I presume they're they're talking about the tracking stations along that coast that are used, and I've actually been to these places myself. They're used to help American submarines right around the world. That's where, because it's such clear air and it's out in the middle of nowhere, the signals from these tracking stations are very easily picked up by American submarines, and so then we pass that intelligence on to the Americans. Is it of concern? Yep. Are we going to end up this week with an election that's going to somehow go back to border security and security of our borders? I doubt that. I don't think most people think that that's going to happen. I don't think most people think that people smugglers will start their business up again if Labor wins. The coalition are going to try very hard this week to get back to those core policies that they believe voters voted in for. And hopefully, fingers crossed, they will get there. That's what they're hoping.
And the great hope is, of course, you do seem to have a large number of undecideds, and they're the people you're praying are going to fall your way come Saturday.
One of the interesting things also is more than a million people have already voted. Yeah. We have this pre-poll idea now where you can turn up. I've done it. I've already voted. You can turn up and vote, because if you can say, well, I won't be in my electorate on voting day, so I want to do it now. That means that any policy you wheel out, including the one from yesterday on housing, is too late. Yeah. So it's going to be fascinating to see. I'll give you a prediction on Thursday, but I'm heavily leaning toward, I think, probably won't be now a Labor minority government. I think they'll probably have a narrow majority Labor.
Talking a couple of days, mate. Appreciate it very much. Steve Price out of Australia this morning.